Mike and Trisha Mornings Podcast. Real, live, local.
You know, it's tough to come to work when there's nothing happening on the news.
Yeah.
You know, nothing to talk about.
No.
Nothing local happening.
Right.
You know, I mean, wow.
Try having to do that alone.
Right. What are we going to talk about all day long?
I don't know. I heard this thing last night. I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention, but something about taxpayers getting bent over again. Something about that.
Something
I'm not really sure what the deal was, but I'm looking into it. Because I wanted to see how far down I got to reach.
I was really surprised at how really on the down low this whole thing was.
Right?
I mean, there had been, you know, rumors and, you know,
speculation. But that was like years ago.
Yeah.
And they hardly ever even made a dent in so far as news cycles go.
Right,
like every now and then I would see a story pop up on, you know, some second tier website or El Paso Inc. or something.
Yeah, nothing.
But nothing really that got any traction.
And then all of a sudden.
And then yesterday I turned on the TV and, you know, there is my my lovely Stephanie Guadian, doing her thing. And then out of nowhere, we're breaking into a news conference.
I know.
And I'm like, what?
I was in the kitchen. I was making myself some soup. And I had the TV on, and I had it on CNN because, you know me,
sure.
I'm you know, the crazy national news person.
Right, right.
And so I was listening to the Hope Hicks thing.
Uh-huh.
And I have the DVR set to tape the 4 o'clock because, you know, you never know what's going to happen in the 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
So
usually nothing.
Usually it's nothing major. You know, I'll watch the first 10 minutes or whatever, see what's going on. And all of a sudden, I'm hearing, like, you know, same thing. We're gonna go to this news conference with Mountain Star Sports.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, what?
I know.
A news conference?
I know.
What?
I was like, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
They're
and
giving us money back?
I know,
that
right?
That is so unlike billionaires.
Right?
They don't become billionaires because they give money back.
Because they've given money away. So, yeah. So I, like, you know, peek around the corner of the kitchen window, the kitchen wall. And they're like announcing. And Alan Ledford said, you know, if you guys don't know what this is about, you really don't. You shouldn't be here. And I'm like, holy cow, we're getting a soccer team.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, he announces the soccer team. I was like, whoa.
I heard that too, and I was like, but this is my home. Because I didn't know what he was talking about. Because I couldn't see the back. I mean, I could see, you know, that they had their the background, and I saw the star, and I saw El Paso,
right.
But I couldn't read the small print.
Oh, I know, that's what happens when
you have
crappy eyes.
Which ended up saying USL, last I heard.
Right.
And so I was like, well, I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, I didn't either. And so, and the funny thing is that, you know, I'm pretty active on Twitter. And so, you know, I hadn't seen that, you know, we're going to a Mountain Star Sports, you know, press conference or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, our dude from our sister station over at 600 ESPN.
How did he get involved in the whole thing?
I don't know.
How did Steve Kaplowitz end up being the guy that introduced everything?
I don't know.
Like, how'd he get so small,
man?
Seriously.
I don't know. But here he is bebopping around the station.
Seems like a conflict of interest to me.
Well.
I think, you know, Town Square Media needs to look into his dealings.
Well, because, you know, we're with Mountain Star Sports because of the Chihuahuas.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, and he couldn't give us a heads up?
I know. And see, that's what I texted him right away. I was like, yo, dude.
You couldn't have said something?
I was like, you're bebopping around the station for a year. Come on, because this kind of thing takes a while to happen.
Right.
You know,
oh,
and
it took
nothing?
A long time. Look, for them to have scarves ready, and by the way, those are some sweet scarves.
Aren't those nice?
Yes.
I wouldn't mind a scarf.
Yeah. You know, that Ledford guy is supposed to come in this morning.
He is, indeed.
You know? You
perhaps.
Could always try to smooth things over
with a scarf. Maybe a latte.
You know, scarves have a limited shelf life.
That's right.
And, you know,
especially here.
We're about to not be able to wear them.
I know, right?
So that would be sweet.
But you know,
be that as it may.
Right? We can, you can always use it next year.
That's right. Yes.
So if you would like to, you know, oh, bring one by to show us.
Well, two.
Yeah,
to show us.
two. Okay. And, you know, hey, and we wouldn't turn down a latte either. I'm just saying. But yeah, so yeah, I was totally surprised. And then there's Steve.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude.
To have the scarves ready to go and to have the background ready to go.
All
that kind of stuff.
It takes
a long
time.
I mean, it just doesn't happen overnight.
No.
So clearly they knew that something was up for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
so
yeah.
did Cappy. And I'm upset with Cappy that we didn't get a heads up of any sort.
At least a little whisper.
At least a, hey, there's going to be a press conference at 4 o'clock.
That would have been nice.
Spoiler alert. Huh? Nothing. Okay.
I know. He could have told us. I would have been there.
Right?
I would have been there live streaming.
Right?
You know, but no. Dude, Cappy. Not cool, man. He owes us a latte, too. Those lattes are racking up, man.
In conclusion, we're about to get bento.
Kiss FM. Here's what's trending now.
All right, so there's a couple of things. One is Metallica, the Metallica concert.
Right.
Today, more pre-sales get underway.
Mm-hmm.
Today, there are four different types of pre-sales.
This is crazy that this has become the way you get concert tickets now. Remember back in the good old days when you had to camp out?
Pretty much, man.
You know?
Tickets would go on sale at whatever time on a Friday, usually.
And everybody got the same chance.
People camped out, or you had to keep dialing away with the old rotary phones.
Remember?
Man.
Oh, man.
One.
Look it up,
eight,
kids.
Eight. Yeah, boy, man. And so there are a lot of Metallica fans, a lot of fans that are A, upset, and B, concerned that there's just not going to be any tickets left tomorrow when they go on sale to the quote-unquote general public, you know, to the dirty, messy masses that are left over.
To the great unwashed.
Who have no affiliation with any group.
That's right.
You know?
They're just sitting there waiting by their phone, man.
Special in no way. You know? They're like the at 17 of
the
ticket world.
Remember?
Google it, kids. Remember that song?
Yes.
You know, just sitting there on a Saturday night.
Yep.
You know?
Just waiting for their chance to buy some Metallica tickets, man.
And so hopefully we can alleviate your concerns. After 8 o'clock, we'll talk to Jorge Vasquez, who's in charge of the UTEP Special Events Center.
Yeah, because there's a lot of freaked out people.
Oh, no, there are.
I've even heard from a lot of freaked out people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Let me give you an example. Today, at 9 o'clock in the morning, Ticketmaster presale, venue presale, which means Don Haskins,
right.
Radio presale, our sister station's got a code, and Live Nation has a presale.
Yeah.
Today,
mm-hmm.
all of them start at 9 o'clock, right? Yesterday, Spotify and CityCard had their presale. Their presale is good until 10 o'clock tonight, just like the other four that I just mentioned.
Oh, my gosh.
So there's six presales that'll be going on today throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the venue only seats 12,000 that I know of.
Right, exactly.
So there are a lot of concern. The fan presale, the fan club presale, sold out right away.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there are a lot of concerns. So we'll talk to Jorge after 8 o'clock, and maybe he can shed some light on how this works. How does it work? Because my theory is that there's only a certain allotment.
Mm-hmm. Per presale.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know.
No, yeah.
It's never really come up before because, you know, when Guns N' Roses came to town, it was a stadium, and there was really no fear
right,
of there
that
being
it was going
to
get crazy
so early
yeah.
like that.
Mm-hmm. But this is a very limited number of seats.
Oh, yeah.
I think the funniest comment I saw online about this was some guy who said, I'm going to make sure that I get my pre-sale tickets because I'll be darned if I'm going to let a bunch of 40-year-olds take over the Don Haskins Center. I'm like, 40-year-olds, dude? No, man. They're already in their 50s. Metallica fans?
Yes.
Hi.
Yeah.
We went to school 35 years ago. Okay? So, yeah.
I think he was referring to the actual band itself.
No, they're not even in their 40s.
They gotta be, man.
They're pushing in their 50s. Come on.
They gotta be. Yeah, they gotta
be. Come on.
One of them is already getting white hairs.
Dude, Metallica was around when I was in high school.
Yeah.
I graduated in 84.
So, yeah, they're about.
Yeah.
By the way, one of the most fascinating, I think I've told you before, I love watching documentaries.
Right.
I especially love music documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
Love them. It's one of the things that I seek out on Netflix. Like, I would pay for a Netflix subscription just on band documentaries
Absolutely.
Alone, right? One of the most fascinating ones I've ever seen is the Metallica one.
Really?
Yeah, it's awesome. It is so awesome because those dudes got real a few years ago when this documentary was filmed. They actually traveled with a psychologist.
Wow.
Because they were having so many problems and issues with the band, the members among themselves.
Wow.
And watching some of these sessions is uncomfortable. You know? It's really uncomfortable.
Well, okay. I think I'm going to amend my what I'm going to do when I win the lotto.
Yeah? What are you going to do?
I'm going to get Journey a traveling psychiatrist.
Clearly they need
to bring in Steve Perry again.
They clearly need one.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I know the Eagles still travel, but they need one too.
Oh, man.
If you've ever seen that documentary.
Those guys, yeah.
They totally need one.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think being in a band is worse than being in a marriage.
Probably, man.
Because
probably.
They seem to really, I mean, you know a lot of married people who get divorced, and they can still at least be cordial to each other.
Right.
But like band members.
I know.
They want to like stomp each other into the dirt.
Exactly. Well, because it's like it's like married people that have to work together also.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Imagine having to come home to you.
And then there's money involved.
Oh, forget about it.
Look, I'm not even going to talk about
forget
coming home
about
to
it.
You. Whatever.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Can you imagine? You know, those people that work together
no.
and they're married?
No.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine. Anyway, we'll talk to Jorge Vasquez after 8 o'clock.
Okay.
And get the lowdown on this concern
mm-hmm.
that there ain't going to be nothing left at 10 o'clock tomorrow.
Yep.
The second thing is the stadium,
mm-hmm.
you know, well, not necessarily the stadium, but the soccer team.
The soccer team.
Right. That's trending this morning. We'll talk to Mr. Alan Ledford, who
uh-huh.
is, I believe, the president or something of Mountain Star?
Of Mountain Star. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a pretty big deal.
He is.
And he's going to be in the studio and we'll talk about, you know, how are we going to pay for this thing?
Right.
You know, congrats on the team.
Yeah, or are we? Because they're going to stay at Southwest University Ballpark.
But only for the first year.
But we don't know that.
Well, no, they've made that quite clear.
I mean, they said that they're going to build an open-air stadium.
Yes.
But I mean...
They've made it quite clear that they want a stadium specific
okay.
to soccer.
Well, we'll see what happens.
So, yeah, we'll find out. We'll ask them.
Yeah.
We'll ask them what the deal is, man. What are the chances that this is happening?
Lots of questions. You put this up on the... was it on our Facebook page?
Yeah, the Mike and Tricia Facebook
page.
Heck,
man, right. If you've got a question, jump over to the Facebook page.
Absolutely. Kiss FM!
Oh, no.
Sheeran? On 93.1 KISS FM. You know, that's the kind of crap that'll have me eating dog biscuits tomorrow.
That's right. One of our listeners said that.
Yes. As was pointed out by one person who voted for me to eat the dog biscuits.
Yep. Because she was tired of you saying that.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Got under her skin.
Yep.
Although it still amuses the heck out of me.
I know it does.
speaking of the Osbournes. So, you know, they were spotted in town earlier this week.
Yeah. At the airport.
Somebody caught up with them at the airport. There was a photo of them of Ozzy at the airport. There was also a photo of Ozzy in the airplane.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, people were like, what the heck's going on? Well, I saw pictures later of like Ozzy and Kelly, and
mm-hmm.
they seemed to be at some Mexican restaurant because
right.
Ozzy seemed to be having a great time with the mariachis.
Nice.
And come to find out, we still don't know what they're here for, but they were at White Sands.
At White Sands.
They were spotted at White Sands
just the other day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they tweeted out some photos. Jack did.
Yep.
Although Jack wasn't with them on the airplane. It was just Kelly and Ozzy.
Right, but they were all four at White Sands.
Even Sharon?
Yeah.
Sharon?
She was.
Really?
In that picture.
Or is it Sheeran?
Oh, no.
So anyway, yeah, so they're at White Sands. So I don't know what they're doing in the area.
You know, if I'm going to get to the point where I'm Ozzy Osbourne, and Sharon, and I've got this media, you know, conglomerate. I'm taking a private plane, man.
Right.
I'm not messing with an airport.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Same here.
Yeah, no.
So maybe that's what they're doing here. You know, maybe they need some money and they're doing stuff.
I know, right? I think do the Journey concert.
Yeah.
Get you a house.
Uh-huh.
Get you a car.
And buy Ozzy an airplane?
No. Oh. Buy me an airplane.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Because I don't want to ever mess with...
Gotcha.
I don't like flying in the first place.
Right. Yeah,
I hate flying.
You don't. Yeah.
I really do. So I figure I'm going to find out what airline, what private jet company the Kardashians use, because
uh-huh.
they're constantly using some
right.
private jet, you
yeah.
know. So I'm going to find out which one they use,
because
I feel safe. I think they're, you know, they put their family on that plane.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Look, and if the Lord wanted to strike anyone down, it would be a Kardashian. So,
wow.
So,
wow.
You know, for signing that deal.
I didn't even think about that.
For signing that deal that you know they signed with the devil. You know they did. So, yeah, I would feel pretty safe, too.
Yeah. So that's what I would do. I would not mess with airports.
I'm pretty sure the Osbournes are here because it has something to do with that TV show that Ozzy and Jack do.
Right, that road trip.
Mm-hmm. Right? You would think?
Yeah, they do.
They've been here before because of that.
Yeah, they do a road trip show.
Yeah,
it's actually kind of funny.
Is it?
Yeah.
So, well, maybe that's why they're here. I don't know. But they are in the area.
Mm-hmm.
They are in New Mexico.
Yep.
It's Mike and Tricia Mornings on 93.1 KISS FM. Let's talk USL. That would be the soccer league team that Mountain Sports got for El Paso.
Right.
Because you know it's not about, you know, their pocketbook. It's about El Paso and our quality of life, my friends.
It is.
So the is he the president of operations?
What's his official title?
Alan Ledford.
Like CEO something.
Here, let me look. I think I wrote it down somewhere. Oh, I saw it somewhere. What his exact title is. He's going to be in our studio here in just a minute. Yes, he is the president, the Mountain Star Sports Group. And we'll talk about, because there's a lot of questions.
Yes.
And the biggest question of all is, where's the money coming from?
Right. For a stadium.
Yeah, yep. Because this is one of those cases where they seem to have put the cart before the horse.
A little bit.
You know, but they're in. They're in.
Mm-hmm.
And so who's going to pay for a stadium?
I don't know. Let's find out. KISS
FM. The Mountain Star Sports Group is our guest this morning. I don't know if you heard about this, but we got a USL team in El Paso now. Man, I got to tell you, Mr. Ledford, boy, I didn't see that coming at all. How did you guys keep that on the down low for so long?
Well, I don't know that we kept it on the down low. And please call me Alan.
Oh, hi, Alan.
You make me feel old by calling me Mr. Ledford. So that was barely my dad, much less me.
All right, I'll call you Alan. Can I call you Al?
You know what? Sometimes my youngest son calls me that. He's funny, and some friends, and I was Al to my grandfather until I did something wrong. Then I was Alan.
And you were Alan, exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well,
but Alan works.
If it wasn't really on the down low, then we just don't run with the right circle.
No, we don't.
Well, this is something we've been looking at for some time now. It's the growth of professional soccer in the world, and this country in particular, has been fairly extraordinary. And this market is a perfect one for it. And the soccer gods look at a number of different metrics, and two of the primary ones are the age of the population. And El Paso's is below the national average from a median standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it's 80-85% Hispanic mm-hmm. is a terrific benchmark for us. And you don't have to be a social scientist to understand the level of interest in the sport in this community.
Right.
So it was pretty obvious that it was something that would be of interest here. And the USL is a league that, if for those not familiar, AAA baseball, the way that I like to describe it is these are the if Major League Baseball are the 750 best players in the world, these are the 751st to 1500s. Chihuahuas, and all of the teams that play at that level. That's what the USL is in soccer. Maybe not the world, because soccer is such a worldwide sport. But certainly in this country, the MLS are those are the absolute best players playing in America, and these are the guys that are aspiring just mm-hmm. at the level below.
And you guys have been working on this because we've heard rumblings, we've seen things here
for
and there
for
since at least 14, mm-hmm. right? Since at least 2014. Mm-hmm. So you've been working behind the scenes to try to make something happen. And I read several times where you're discussing with people on where you could buy property to build a stadium, that kind of stuff, and that hasn't come to fruition yet. So how is it that you buy a team without a stadium first?
Well, we have a stadium, a ballpark.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, these are multivariable equations is kind of our favorite subjects growing up, right, in math. But they're complicated because there are a lot of different parts to it. The first thing you have to do is have a team. The rest mm-hmm. of the conversation is moot at that point. And the competition for these teams within the USL, because of the success of the league, the quality of the play, the quality of the league ownership, the league management, is quite high. And we didn't want to miss out. And the opportunity arose, and we put the deal together with the league. Mountain uh-huh. Star did, and our ownership stuck their neck out to go out and buy one of these teams and make this happen. We are fortunate that we have a world-class facility in Southwest University Park to play on a temporary basis.
Right.
But ultimately, the league has always made it clear that they want their teams in a soccer-specific, ideally in or near downtown venue, and given the success that we've had with the ballpark and the momentum that it's created downtown, that's a model that clearly is working and will continue to work.
So, okay. Does that help you get a soccer team? Does the success of the Chihuahuas help you get that?
Absolutely, it's a competitive process, and they came out. I lose track of time, but a year or so ago, they came to a game. They took a tour here. They met the ownership and Brad Taylor, myself, senior management, and we showed them around. We showed them the ballpark, and they were very impressed. We are very fortunate to have the quality of facility that we have. It reflects very well on El Paso and this region. And they also looked at the success of the Chihuahuas and said, okay, these guys have a pretty decent idea of what they're doing. This community has a great idea of how to support a sports team no other, in my opinion and in my experience. And I have a fair amount of experience coming from the Bay Area, and I've never seen anything like the way El Paso. The Chihuahuas have, for all of the interest and all of the controversy, interest in quotes initially, in the nickname, we have been, and it's not a credit necessarily to us, it's a credit to our fans and just people, El Pasoans, frankly, around the country and in some cases around the world. We have sold more Chihuahuas merchandise than any minor league team ever.
Yes.
Right.
Not just in the first year, but ever.
Right.
And again, it's great mark, great logo, but it goes to the core of how this community supports its own.
Okay. Now, can I be blunt?
Yeah, absolutely.
How much is it going to cost us? By us, I mean the taxpayer. So you made it clear that playing at the University Park is temporary. So you want a soccer-specific stadium. So how much is it going to cost taxpayers?
Well, the league, and we would aspire to have a soccer-specific stadium. We think that's what El Paso deserves. And all of that needs to be worked out, what it's going to cost Mountain Star and our ownership, as the ballpark has, what it's ultimately going to take to put that deal together. It's complicated, and I don't if we had the answer today, we would love to be in such a facility.
Well, that's what I mean about putting the cart before the horse. You bought a team without a stadium. I mean, I know you said you have a stadium, but you don't have plans to stay at that stadium.
Right, it's not going to be soccer specific.
Right? So if you want a stadium, it's going to have to cost somebody. So do you think that El Paso has enough of a tax base to support the baseball stadium, support the arena, and now support a soccer stadium?
It's a community of 850,000. If you ask if it has enough of a base to support something like this, 850,000 in El Paso and growing, another 200,000+ in southern New Mexico, and a community that has supported its sports teams in a very significant way, and given the attributes of a soccer fan that I described before, we think it absolutely has the attributes to be successful in the long term, which is our goal.
Right, okay, but do you think that our tax base can support it? Is my question.
Yeah, again, that's a question that the tax base opens up a lot of different issues. I mean, what the ballpark is a public-private partnership. It's a situation where the bonds are paid, and there's a lot of misperceptions about this, and it probably hasn't been explained real well. It's paid back by Mountain Star via rent that we pay. It's paid back by out-of-towners, essentially, on the hotel-motel tax, and the two of those together pay the vast majority of it. There was a financing plan that was put in place over the course of the 30 years of the ballpark that demonstrated, and this was approved by City Council way back, it seems like, a long time ago, 2012, 2013, that showed that revenue streams for the first 6 or 7 years wouldn't quite cover the cost. And then ultimately, at the end of the time, there would be a surplus, which is a remarkable thing for any public facility, of $18 million. Mm-hmm. And we're right on schedule there.
Okay.
So, and that's paid, I'll reiterate what I said, that's paid for by hotel motel tax dollars, plus Mountain Star via rent. And in addition, we are responsible, Mountain Star, this is a city-owned facility, to pay all of the day-to-day maintenance costs. So think about your house, and you're the one who's responsible. The roof leaks, you have to fix it.
Yeah.
If the roof blows off, that's a capital expense. And yeah, in our case, that's the responsibility of the city because they own the building. If we need to repaint, we pay those costs. And I believe it's one of the only city-owned facilities in El Paso that somebody else besides the city is paying to maintain, and that's our responsibility. Uh-huh. In addition, Mountain Star has put in at this point, and we finished our fourth season, about to go into our fifth season, about $15 million into the city-owned facility. That all belongs to the city, and we continue to improve it.
Sure, but 12 of that was because you wanted a better stadium, and so it increased the price. So
absolutely, but that's, again, the city stadium. So that's, you own a house, and somebody else is paying to add on to it. And
right. If you're somebody else is renting your house, and they decide to like put in all new landscaping, that's something that it improves your property.
At the end of the day, you own it. And let me just reiterate one other thing. We take a lot of pride in maintaining the ballpark at a first class level because, frankly, it's one of the ways that we believe you can be successful in the long term. Two, we want people to walk into that building in year 4 and in year 14 and in year 24 and in year 30 and say, geez, this place looks like new.
And it still looks brand new.
Right.
Exactly.
And that's important.
A lot of pride. And we hope our guests and our fans and the El Paso taxpayers who ultimately own the building feel the same amount of pride.
Right.
Okay, so you're going to be doing...
Take a break here. We got to play some commercials.
Oh, okay. Commercials?
Then, yeah, I know,
we have to pay for this?
I know,
what?
Right? And then we'll be right back and we'll continue our conversation with Alan Ledford, the president of Mountain Star Sports Group.
Yes.
President of Mountain Star Sports Group is our guest this morning. Maybe you heard there's a USL team coming to El Paso next year.
Okay, so we are affiliated with the Padres, with the San Diego Padres.
Correct, the Chihuahuas are.
And my whole thing is, I know that Major League Baseball is very, very serious about their playing fields.
Yeah.
So the soccer year overlaps completely the baseball year.
Yes.
So what are you guys going to do to make sure that we don't have problems with our field? And if we do, who maintains that?
Yeah, that's all on us, on Mountain Star. And it's a great question. I mean, it's something, you were asking earlier about the process of putting this all together and the timing.
I thought just recently with the capital improvements that, you know, fixing the turf was one of the things that you guys put on us.
Actually, that's not. Fixing the turf is on us. Replacing the turf, because it does have a life span, is a capital improvement, and ultimately the city's responsible for that.
So
every
what's the difference
X number
between
of
the
years.
Two?
The day-to-day maintenance of your lawn, the fertilizing, the pesticides, all of that, the watering, the labor to maintain it is on us. Ultimately, there is a lifespan to all of this, to a playing field, especially one at that level. And we share with the city an overall expectation and a desire to maintain the facility at a first-class level. And there's the lease lays all of that out, what we're each responsible for. And obviously, the playing surface is a big part of that. So ultimately, there's a lifespan to it. It's finite.
So theoretically,
and the city's responsible at that point.
Theoretically, then, 2019, both teams are playing on the same field. The field gets gets used up because there's, you know, games going on within days of themselves, which is going to be a possibility, right? I mean,
absolutely.
That's really what's going to happen.
And that's what we hope. I mean, that's the idea. We want the place used as often as possible. It's good for everybody.
Good possibility with all these home games here, 16 or 17 a year that the soccer team is going to have.
17 regular season games,
that there's going to be a couple of days in between a baseball game and a soccer game on the same field. So then theoretically, if I understand correctly, things get torn up on a weekly basis. You guys fix the field up so that it's game ready for the next, you know, home game, whatever sport that is. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the season, then if all of that needs to be replaced, then it belongs to the taxpayer to replace.
So let me just correct one thing you said. Torn up is an overstatement. So it's going to be used to play baseball as it is now. We have a crew of a dozen or so people who work, both full-time staff, part-time staff, that are out there 24/7 maintaining that field. Some of the hardest working guys in our organization and in sports, quite frankly. Travis Howard is our head groundskeeper, and they do a great job. Ultimately, not necessarily after any particular season, but as I said, there's a lifespan to it, and like the roof wears out at some point, the field wears out.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, we maintain it at a level that's as high as it's at a level higher than anybody, and we've been received awards for it, and we make a significant investment to do that because there's a choice that we have to make. But we're going to do things, Trish, and back to your question. For instance, we Mountain Star purchased a replaceable pitching mount that allows us to, imagine that, right?
It cuts out six pieces,
takes about 6 hours out, 6 hours back
in. I thought it was all dirt. I thought it was just a mound of dirt.
Well, it is, but there's all sorts of stuff going on underneath there, Mike.
because if you're going to play soccer, you can't have that mound.
Exactly.
So they have to be able to pull that thing off.
That's true.
And
okay.
I've actually watched you guys do that. It's very cool. It's a very interesting process.
And in fact, there's another system that is even quicker that we're looking at acquiring just to make that process a bit easier, because there will be a number of conversions, baseball to soccer, back to baseball, that'll be required.
Yeah, well, you'll have like a day in between or something at some time.
We'll do our best to make it as long as possible, but that's possible. That is correct. We looked at, there are other organizations that are doing this, Tulsa, Louisville, Reno, minor league teams. Memphis is going to be new to the USL in 2019. Obviously, the very positive aspect is we're bringing 17 regular season games, and there will be additional games, and hopefully there'll be playoff games, friendlies and preseason type games. That's 20 more days when we're bringing thousands of people downtown.
Right.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
It's quality of life. It's economic. It's an economic engine, and it's something great to do with first-class entertainment.
Okay, so let's get back to a possible
stadium.
But
don't ask necessarily our grounds crew how thrilled they are about it.
I bet you they were going, oh, thanks, Mountain Star. I appreciate it.
Why don't you bring a football team, too?
We will take good care of them and make sure that they have everything they need to do. We take a lot of pride in what that playing field looks like.
Yeah. It's an amazing field.
It is.
Absolutely.
Hey, before you get to back to the stadium, let me ask you this. So, overlapping seasons, same stadium.
You
pay rent to use it as the baseball park.
Correct.
Will you also be paying a separate rent to use it as the soccer team, or is that just part of the deal when the mayor said that he would help out as any way that they could?
The lease, as it soccer or no soccer, as it sits now, requires us to operate the stadium, to maintain it, and we get to use it all year long. So we can have, our goal is to have as many events as possible. Yeah. The variable in that equation, Mike, is there's a fixed fee for our lease, an annual fee that we pay. It increases over the course of time. There's also a per ticket fee that we pay. So for the answer is ultimately yes, it will, because for every ticket sold, we pay an additional, I think currently it's 50 cents or something that goes to the city.
So
that's all unanticipated revenue. Frankly.
So it's not a separate lease. It's because, you know, because the seasons overlap, then it works for you. So why would you want to go to another stadium then if you got such a sweet deal? Because if you get another stadium, you'd have to pay something.
It starts with the leagues and their aspirations to have their teams in soccer-specific stadiums. The ultimate experience is to play in that type of facility. It provides more opportunities for us, frankly, to make the venue available to local schools, high schools, youth leagues, and that's another important component that we haven't talked a whole lot about, and frankly, we've looked into, but we haven't spent a ton of time with. It's down the road for us, is developing a youth academy and additional fields that this team will use, and that youth soccer leagues, which in El Paso, there is a lack of adequate playing fields of all types.
Right, I'll give you the last question.
So getting back to the stadium, what size stadium are we looking at? And would we be, and if it's going to be a public-private, you know, I'm assuming that the city would be owning it again.
Yeah.
And
the county, I think the county's involved.
And the county
too.
Was involved. So, how big of a stadium are you looking at? And then, I got to tell you guys got kind of a sweetheart deal with the Southwest University ballpark, because we don't have as many city events as I would like to see going on in the ballpark. I would like to see more city events happening in the soccer stadium. So, how many seats in the soccer stadium? and you know, what kind of a deal is the city going to get out of it? Would you envision?
Well, I would first argue that every event is a city event in the ballpark, first and foremost. And whether it's a private event, you want to have a high school reunion there or a wedding, or your organization has an event and you want a cool location to host it, a school event. We have high school baseball games that take place. We have an upwards of a dozen beyond those events that are ticketed and that we're all familiar with. So I would argue that the 100 or so events that we have in that ballpark, including baseball games each year, 100 plus, are all city events. And the city does have opportunities to do things. In terms of the size, again, a lot of those, and who owns it and what the structure is, I don't know the answer to that, because those discussions really haven't taken place in earnest. It's too early in the process. First thing was, let's get a team before that opportunity passes us by, because this conversation would have been moot. Yeah. El Paso would have been left out, mm-hmm. and we should be part of that league. We should be part of a league that includes the cities that we compete with economically.
Yeah. I just hope that, you know, let me close this out by saying, I just hope that this time, whatever happens, is handled way better than the baseball stadium was. That was just a PR nightmare, and it was just handled wrong from all sides.
Well, I would agree that the communication definitely needs to be better. I would argue, however, as we were talking about earlier, that the result has been extraordinary. The city has a great circumstance. The taxpayer has a good circumstance. Mountain Star does. It's a win-win. And then above all of that are all of the intangible benefits that you can't measure. And we could discuss all day the extent of those benefits, but I don't think anybody would argue that having a first-class facility in a downtown that has led to some terrific momentum and the renaissance of that region, and arguably the entire area, has been worth it.
I'll say this. When my property taxes start going down, then I'll agree that it's a win.
There is no correlation between your property taxes and this ballpark. So
I keep hearing that, but I'm not buying it. Money's still coming out of the general fund. I'm not buying that.
But remember what we talked about, Mike. That was the plan, and then at the end of 30 years, how much is left?
I would argue that surplus was not the argument at the very beginning of this whole thing. There was never talk about dipping into the general fund. I will argue with that.
It was part of a city council meeting. Wow. It was all.
See, and that's what I mean about this communication and transparency, that we weren't a part of a lot of that.
Well, I think we all.
It was argued in city council. It sure as heck wasn't being told to the taxpayers.
Well, there's probably a lot of people who share responsibility for not communicating that. It was out there. It wasn't a secret. It's complicated. There's no doubt about that. And for me, as somebody who's close to it, it takes time to understand it all. And that's the nature of any deal of that magnitude.
Well, I think City Council, they did drop the ball on that. They did. And you know what? That I'm thrilled to pieces that we have the ballpark. But absolutely, the city really did kind of hide their heads in the sand, and they put a target on y'all's back. They certainly put one on the ballpark's back, and that's something that they need to be aware of this time around.
Yeah.
Because to be quite honest with you, you do see that El Paso does get behind a team. We do love the ballpark. We do love the merchandise. We do love the team and all that stuff, but. It's really tough to start from, you know, 10 paces back and work our way up to loving you guys. And I'll tell you, the city council, they really do need to talk to people.
I think so.
They really do need to be way more transparent than they were this last
time. And the county commissioners, too, because it seems to me like they're going to be in the mix as well.
Yeah.
So don't get me wrong, I'm all for progress. I would love to see this city blossom.
Exactly.
I just would like a little more transparency so I don't feel like something is getting shoved down my throat.
Yeah. And I think that's the biggest thing that I've heard from a lot of people, even people who were totally against the ballpark at the beginning. They were like out there making signs and out there, you know, on the Facebook pages and everything. And now they're season ticket holders.
Right. You know? I'll repeat what I said earlier, which is I think that everybody would agree, and necessarily things happen very quickly. We wouldn't be having this conversation because we wouldn't have a team.
Yeah.
But so we have to remember that. Communication, definitely. We could all have done a better job in that regard. But at the end of the day, The partnership has been a terrific one. The city has been a very good partner for us. I think the city has created a circumstance which, in all respects, financially and, as I mentioned earlier, intangibly, with all of the benefits that accrue and from that ballpark and the opportunity to, from an economic development standpoint, I'll give you a real quick example as we close, that we had the city in with a new company just the other day. In fact, they were just announced, Five Star.
Yeah,
and one of the places they brought them to show off their city is the ballpark. Because when they look to, when they, you're talking about human beings moving here, it's not this this big amorphous entity. They're bringing families, they're bringing senior executives. They want to know that their people are going to want to live here, that they're going to want to work here, and that they're going to be able to attract the kind of people they need to make their company successful. Yeah. This is all part of that. That's where jobs come from. That's where higher paying jobs come from. And at the end of the day, you have a deal where the city owns a first-class facility with an $18 million surplus, and something that we'd like to think that everybody takes a great deal of pride in.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly a jewel. I won't argue with that.
It is.
Well, thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
And for being so forthcoming. You know, a lot of times people like to give runaround answers to questions. I appreciate you not doing that.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. We believe we have a great story to tell, and you know, we all need to reiterate that, and it's been great having the conversation with you guys.
All right. Excellent. Well, we'll continue then to look for these news as they trickle in on financing and tickets and team names and everything.
Mm-hmm. And I will, speaking of tickets, can I mention one thing real quickly?
Sure.
For those who are interested, there's a process to get in line to buy season tickets. We haven't worked out pricing and all of those kind of details, but like we did with baseball, by placing a $50 per ticket deposit, calling 235 GOAL, G-O-A-L, we're extraordinarily creative, or going to elpasousl.com. You can place a deposit and get in line for what we think will be a much in-demand product.
Is this where you get that fetching little scarf?
First
that
couple
you have?
Of hundred,
the first,
I read.
You're right. Thank you for reminding
get
me. The first 200 people get one of those handsome scarves.
We really thought those scarves were very handsome.
And you know, my neck is so cold this morning.
Well, it's still a little, can we come in so early?
if I was on the ball, I might have brought a couple. But I probably know where I can find some.
And you have two balls to get on, a soccer and a baseball.
Exactly.
And you weren't on either one of them.
Exactly.
All right.
Sleep at the switch.
I appreciate it, Alan. Thanks for coming in this morning.
My pleasure.
Okay, so let's review. Earlier this morning, we had Alan Ledford. Alan is the president of Mountain Star Groups. You heard about a soccer team. Mountain Star Groups purchased a soccer team in the United. Is it the United Soccer League? Is that what the USL stands for?
I think that's what it should stand for.
If it isn't, it should. and so they purchased the team. So what was your takeaway from our conversation with him? Because we mainly focused on financing. All right, so who's paying for this? Because let's see here. For example, News Channel 9, they spoke to the mayor. Mayor Margo said, of course, you know, the Chihuahuas is also a Mountain Star project.
Mm-hmm.
They bought the team, you know, and we still ended up with this, you know, paying for the stadium.
Right.
He told Channel 7, Mayor Margo did, that he did not foresee taxpayers having to pay for it.
Right.
But
Alan Ledford said he's looking for a public-private.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So
I can't imagine that that we wouldn't be involved in a public-private situation.
Wasn't that your takeaway?
Yeah.
I mean,
I think it's a little disingenuous of the mayor to say, well, we don't anticipate it.
Yeah, I don't anticipate it.
Yeah,
well,
I think that's a little disingenuous. And again, I think it's a little non-transparent.
Yeah.
When you've got city and county officials standing behind the team.
Right.
There's no other reason for you to be there.
Right, and let's not forget, the city is not very good at anticipating anything.
Yeah, and they're not, and you know, and it's not just this city council, it's all the city councils since I've been on the air.
Right.
These guys just love to shoot themselves in the foot.
Yeah. So what we learned, speaking to Mr. Ledford, to Alan, I'm sorry, he doesn't like Mr. Ledford, to Alan, is that they're going to play at the baseball stadium next year.
Right.
right? And they will be sharing some part of the season, some of those home games with baseball games, because the baseball season usually runs April through whenever,
through October,
mm-hmm. depending on whether they make the playoffs
or not. It's going to completely overlap.
And yes, and soccer is going to run from March through October.
Right.
So there will be a lot of times where there will be two things going on that week, you know, a baseball game, maybe a few days later there's a soccer game. It's
right.
going to happen at least 17 times because there's 17 home soccer games next year.
Right.
I asked him bluntly, so are you going to pay the city lease for that? Because they pay lease, you know, the lease.
Right. Is there going to be an additional lease for the additional team?
Because they pay $400,000 a year, you know, for the lease to have the Chihuahuas there.
Mm.
And he honestly said no.
Yeah.
That their contract says they have this deal where they get to use the stadium for this long, for this amount of time. They're paying $400,000 to use it for the year.
Uh-huh.
So they're not paying anything extra for the soccer games.
It'll be the kick-in for the tickets.
As it is, it was already a pretty sweet deal. I had read somewhere, I think somebody did the math, and depending on, because of the number of home games and how much they were paying in lease, they were averaging out to $6,000 a game.
Huh.
That the city was getting paid.
Okay.
And so when you throw in 17 home soccer games, now doing the math, that's a sweet deal. $4,500 is what it's averaging out because
yeah.
they're not paying anything extra for the soccer games.
No, they're not, but they'll be kicking in the ticket price.
But yes, but because of the lease that we have with them.
Right, there's no extra lease on that for another team.
That will help insofar as, you know, but did he specifically say that, yeah, some of the ticket sales will be
yeah.
going to the city?
Yes,
and
because
then, of course, there's
because
the parking
the deal
and
is,
all that.
Yeah, because the deal is they pay, if their team is playing, they pay a ticket price mm-hmm. as well as the rent
mm-hmm.
price.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So this time around, the rent price will not be the soccer team will be included in the rent price.
Right. Okay.
But because they're selling tickets,
okay.
we'll get the advantage of the ticket sales.
Well, maybe that's why. Maybe that's why the city said a few weeks ago that they foresaw not dipping into the general fund sooner than anticipated, maybe because they knew that this was going to happen.
Right.
And that there would be extra money because of the games.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can only hope.
But I think that we're going to, because we're on the border, I think we're going to sell a lot more soccer tickets than we do baseball tickets.
Sure.
I really do.
Yeah.
And so that'll be good. Yes, there'll be, you know, extra wear and tear on the stadium for a year.
Right.
On the ballpark for a
yeah.
year. But, the good thing is that they have at least a plan
right.
with that removable pitcher's mound.
Right.
And it's good to know that the day-to-day upkeep, right. that's a big thing. Because I always wondered, who's paying the water bill for this thing? Because that's a really green, you know, piece of grass there.
Yeah.
And they're paying that.
But make no mistake, they will be coming to us for something.
Well, sure, of course.
They will be coming to us. And the county's going to be involved, too. But, you know, your county taxes are also still your taxes.
Sure, exactly.
So they will be coming to the taxpayers for yeah. for a soccer-specific stadium.
Right.
After the 2019 season, which means sometime in the next few months we'll start hearing this kind of stuff. Because if they want to be in a soccer-specific stadium by 2020, like the league wants them to be,
they need to start building next year.
Yeah.
Actually, this year.
Then something's going to have to... Something's going to happen quick.
Right. You know, and here's the thing. This is my speculation totally. But I find it hard to believe that the city and the county didn't know about this for quite some time.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like this kind of thing. It's not like they got a phone call a week and a half ago
oh, no.
and they got told, hey, guess what?
No.
You know?
Yeah, no, absolutely
so,
not.
So, to me, when they were looking at building an indoor arena, what they should have done was they should have just been honest. And if they knew about it back then, they should have just said, look,
uh-huh.
we're going to get a team. We need to have a specific outdoor stadium for this team. And we need to, it's going to be a public-private thing.
Yeah.
So here's the vote. Go for it.
Right.
Have at it. You know.
Now it looks like they are going to want taxpayers to fund three things.
Yeah, and that's a problem.
A stadium, an arena, and a soccer stadium.
And that's a problem.
So,
and I find it really hard to believe, and again, this is just my speculation.
Yeah.
I find it real hard to believe that when they came up with this idea of
yeah.
building an arena, that they didn't already have the inkling
right.
that this was going to be coming down
yeah.
the pike.
And, you know, and my personal opinion is I don't think El Paso taxpayers can afford three
yeah.
of these things. I
yeah.
don't think they're going to afford an arena and two stadiums.
Yeah.
We can't. We're not that, you know, and we don't have that much of a tax base. We don't get to, there aren't that many high-paying jobs. And secondly, the last few years, the city has been giving away a lot of taxes with these tax breaks that they've been giving businesses to come here.
You know?
And they do a lot of these 5-10-year tax breaks. And that just means that for 5-10 years,
you don't get the taxes.
We don't get that tax base. So
I just
there's
that. I just think that, again, this is an opportunity for the city to be transparent and say, look, you know what? We dropped the ball again. And we should have just come to you guys and said, because you know what? More and more, this is such a politically savvy city.
Well, yeah, they're making us politically savvy.
They are making us politically savvy.
Because of all these
stupid
moves.
By not being transparent.
And it's going to be such a hard sell.
Not
if, but when they come.
Well, sure.
Unless the city decides to shove it down our throat like they did the baseball stadium.
And that's a problem.
Yeah.
And that's a problem again.
The second takeaway this morning, we spoke to Jorge Vasquez with UTEP. The second takeaway this morning that you should be aware of is that there will be tickets tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. When us regular people get to buy tickets, because we don't belong to a club of any sort. And so we got to wait until they go on sale to the general public. And that's going to be tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Jorge wants to alleviate your fears that there won't be any good seats and that there won't be any seats.
And don't freak out about that whole seating chart thing looking like it's all blocked off. It's not. It's because those are seats that are going to be sold.
Right. It's blocked off on
for
purpose
a reason.
So that they can go on sale tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock.
Right.
So just know that it's happening. But also, I'm pretty sure it will still sell out by 12 noon tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Be ready.
Easy.
You're going to need to be ready.
And I don't know if he was telegraphing the move or just toying with us, but there's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. It's probable.
Perhaps. Could be.
In a perfect universe.
It could happen.
They'll decide on a second show.
I think they're going to.
But I hope.
I think they will. I think they're going to see how crazy things got with ticket sales.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to go, boss, let's sell some more tickets.
Yeah. I hope.
I think so.
I hope so. I can go, I'm going to see them before you because you jumped the gun on this.
You've been listening to Mike and Tricia Mornings. For more, visit KissElPaso.com or download the 93.1 Kiss FM app for free to your iPhone or Android.